There are so many needs that the world has. There are so many needs that the church has. There's so many questions that we seek to have answered. And I want to start our time today in our homily moment seeking God's answers and seeking to find what God would have for us in our world. Join me as we pray for our world. We have so many needs. Lord God, and no one to make a difference. We have a world that is bent on war and destruction, hate and misery. We do not treat our brothers and sisters well. We show animosity and return hatred for hatred. We are an unloving people. We need a difference, a change, someone who could make a difference in our world. Lord God, we ask that you would send us a prophet, a man or a woman like Jeremiah, who would go to the nations and share the joys of the Lord, who would speak the truth, who would share your message of hope. Betsy, I can't have you interrupting during my prayer. I mean, I'm trying to pray here. I'm trying to do something. And I hear your voice, and it throws me off. Okay? I mean, right? I need silence when I pray. And all I hear is my name being called. And it takes me out of my prayer. I mean, we need a prophet, right? Who's going to answer? So just work with me here. Let's pray. And let's shift our focus. Maybe we should pray for our nation, okay? Let's pray. Lord God, we live in a nation that has so much to offer our world. We have been called as a people founded under the principles of the gospel. We have been prepared as a nation, sealed as servants. One of the few nations in the history of the world that has dedicated themselves to serving you and not just the citizens. Lord God, we've gone in the wrong direction. And we need someone to lead us in a godly way. Lord God, send us a leader. Send us a man or a woman who will lead us back to you, back to your presence, back to the place that you have originally called us. Betty, is there anything you need? I heard your voice. You were calling. Are you sure it wasn't you? You know, one of the most frustrating things is you get into a rhythm in prayer, and then it's broken by the interruptions of life. I know they're normal. You know, let's continue on, okay? And let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the church. Let's figure out who God might send that the church might be healed. Let's pray again. Loving God, around this nation and around the world, especially in the Western world, in the European world, in the world in which the gospel for hundreds of years reigned supreme, the church has fallen almost to the point of collapse. Lord God, we have so few who are truly seeking to follow you. Just 100 years ago, We had enough that we could conquer the world in your gospel. We were sending missionaries to other lands, sending men and women into danger just to share your word with the nations. And now our churches are closing. In Europe, it's under 5% that even affiliate with the church. And in the United States, we're having fewer and fewer. Lord God, we need an evangelist, someone who will share the gospel with the world around us, someone who will speak the truth and call people to that time, to that moment of salvation, who will call people to you. Lord God, send us another man of God like a Billy Graham, a man of God who will preach the gospel. I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't know if anyone understands the concept of silent prayer. Every time I try to pray, I'm hearing your voice. Now, who's talking out there? Anyone? Is anyone making a noise? You may know where I'm going with this. And you may notice that on the screens, when I was hearing my name called, there were many names on that. The reality is God was calling to you too. All of the problems that we pray about, all of the things that we are concerned about in our world today, whenever we lift them to prayer with God, God responds to us by letting us know that we can be a part of the solutions. The reality is that you are the solution to the calling that God has put in your presence. Now, I know what you're saying. God can't be talking to me because I'm too young, or God can't be talking to me because I'm too old. Now, here's the reality. 20 years ago, I was too young. That was my excuse. Now my excuse is I'm too old. It's not going to end. You always have excuses. You're always going to have reasons to say no to God. You'll always have the ability to push it off to someone else, to make it someone else's responsibility, to make the call a call that someone else will hear. Now, it's interesting that God seems to make the call come from someone else's voice. When Samuel was called by God, he heard Eli, the only person in his life, the only mentor that he had. And when you pray, you may hear the call come from a voice that's in your life. It might be the voice of a parent. It might be the voice of a teacher. It might be the voice of a sibling. Someone who is seeking to call you to the better part of who you are. It might no longer be an audible voice. It might no longer be instruction. It might be a voice in the back of your brain that tells you to be the person you know you should. It's someone you respect, and someone you honor, and someone who you're willing to serve. But until we understand that it's the voice of God that's calling us to act, then we're going to allow the other people to speak, and we'll continue to fall silent. When Samuel first received the call, Eli rightly told him that his response was, "Here I am, speak. Tell me what you want. Send me where you want to go. What you say, I'll do." Now, this is the time-honored tradition of what all prophets have heard. At some point, in order to receive the call, you have to answer it. You have to make it personal. You recognize that in order for God to truly speak, you have to know it's from God, and you have to listen for what God is telling you. Speak now, for your servant is listening. Now, it's important to recognize this. Samuel was called three times in the scripture. We don't know what Samuel was doing. What I can tell you is that Samuel likely didn't have a bedroom where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant, what the scripture tells us, is where Samuel was. And most likely what Samuel was doing was praying there at the Ark of the Covenant. You would never put a child in sleeping quarters next to the Ark of the Covenant. It just wouldn't happen. The Ark of the Covenant was a dangerous thing to be by, first of all. Remember, when someone accidentally tried to grab the Ark of the Covenant when it was being carried and it fell, the person died. You don't put a kid's bedroom next to dangerous objects. Samuel was in there, and he was getting ready for bed, right? Maybe he was praying. Maybe he was seeking God. Maybe he was trying to figure out what this is all about. He was thrust into this position from a child, and he was still a child. He had yet to hear the voice of God, and he was seeking what God is all about. And God answers. And Samuel has neither the cognitive nor the spiritual ability to understand that this is God speaking. And so he mistook God's call for the call of his mentor Eli. And he answered it. Three times he answered it. But answering Eli is not the same as answering God. Answering my grandmother or my father is not the same thing as answering the call from God. And you answering the call from someone who you love and respect might not be, is not the same as you answering the call from God. Now, Samuel answering the call from God changes Israel and the entire world. One boy saying yes to God is going to transform the nation and it's going to transform the world. First of all, Samuel becomes a prophet to the nation and the nations. Samuel is going to speak the truth of God through the entirety of his life. Samuel is going to be the man who ushers in God's word to the people who haven't heard God's word for a while. When you answer the call, God uses you to share the gospel to the world. Samuel's also going to anoint not just one, but two kings. God uses Samuel to give Israel a leader. The first one, Saul, the second, David, as a youngster. When the people need a leader, when the people demand a king, it's Samuel that is utilized to bless and anoint that leader and king. And finally, this. You might not know it, and Samuel may never have conceived it, but when he anointed the young boy David, he was anointing a messianic line that would eventually bring us Jesus Christ. In praying over the littlest of the sons, he was sending forward a line that would bring to us the Messiah, the son of David, the son of God, Jesus the Christ. Just because Samuel said yes. Now the question that we ask today, the question that we must ask today, is not what if Samuel doesn't say yes, it's got to be what if I don't say yes. You see, joking aside, every time you go to the Lord in prayer, God is calling you. God is trying to answer you. But you find a way to get distracted, just like I do. We find a way to hear other voices instead of God's. Because we have other things to do. We have things that are more urgent, more important. And so we answer the wrong call, and we put God on hold. Some of us are young in our walk with Jesus, in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we've only pushed God off a few times. Some of us have pushed God off for decades. But the time is now to answer the call. My prayers are still serious. God needs someone to be a prophet to the nations. Who's going to answer that call? My prayer is serious. God needs someone to lead in the United States of America and to bring us back to that place where God would have us to be. Who's going to answer that call? Everyone bemoans the fact that we have dirty politicians, but the reason is because clean people won't enter those waters. Who's going to answer the call? And we need someone to rebuild the walls of the church. We need someone who will go out and just simply bring in the sheaves, as the old hymn said, calling out to people and saying, today's the day. Come, worship with me. Let's go to the house of the Lord together. Oh, sure, it could be someone else. You know, they're better at it, I'm sure. There's other people that could say yes. And God, we all know we're praying for those other people. But God just keeps hitting the ball back into our court. God keeps saying, other people aren't going to answer until you say yes. Someone's got to be the first. And so the call is simply this. God is calling your name. In that still small voice, you know it. You've heard it. You know you should do more. You know you need to answer. You know that you can make a difference. Today's the day. Will you answer? Let's pray. Loving God, you have called us into fellowship with yourself. In a few moments, we're going to gather around the table for communion. And in gathering around that table, you are going to once again affirm your call to your people that you have given to us a new covenant, a new role to play, that you have called us to follow. As we drink the cup, as we eat the bread, help us to remember your sacrifice, but most importantly, help us to remember your call. Loving God, the people of God are praying. We've heard your call. Empower us to say yes. Loving God, move in hearts and minds. Change lives. Let the world be changed and let it start here with the people of God saying yes to your call. Help us to reach out to the world in Christ. Help us to lead the people in Christ. Help us to change our church by hearing the call of the Holy Spirit and saying yes to you. Lord God, help your people to say yes. And we pray it in the name of Jesus, who said yes and was obedient in all ways. Amen. As we sing our hymn that will bridge us to communion, I ask that you would find a way to say yes in your heart. That you would find a way to discover that coming to the table for communion is indeed a yes to Jesus. And as you say yes, continue to ask God to lead you, to direct you, and to empower you to act.